As we begin our lesson for this morning, please open up your Bibles, open them up to the New Testament and to the first letter written to Timothy, book of 1 Timothy. We want to start our lesson there. It was suggested that a lesson having to do with the upcoming holiday on Thursday would be timely, would be something good for us to talk about. And as I was considering what to say and how to put it together, what we've just recently looked at in our class on Wednesday evening, the adult class here in the auditorium, is a very good passage, words from the Apostle Paul that really get to the heart of this matter of being thankful. So if you would, look in 1 Timothy with me, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning there with verse 12. Paul says, inspired by the Spirit, of course, he says, "I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So we see here, as Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's getting thoughts across, he's getting a point across to Timothy about what Paul's former way of life was and what has changed with him, why all this has changed, but he words it in that he is thankful to God and that he is giving all the honor, all the credit, all the glory to God, not to himself, and in such a way urging Timothy to do the same. And I wanted to just kind of take what he says there as the basis for our entire lesson this morning, on what it means to be thankful, how we show that, what is true thanksgiving. Of course, it should be something that's not just one day out of the year, but all the time, throughout our lives. How are we thankful? What are we thankful for? And so with that in mind, I want to start off the lesson just understanding a very, what should be, basic principle, but something that is overlooked so oftentimes by people in the world. Then when it comes to being thankful, when it comes to giving thanks for what we have and what we've been given, we ought to be thankful to God before thanking anyone else. You know, in our lives, if we've been taught as children to have good manners, say please, thank you, all of that, we thank a lot of people. We thank our co-workers for helping us out. We thank someone who does a favor for us, a neighbor who watches out for us, maybe takes care of our pets while we're away or something. We thank our family members for how they've helped us. And coming holiday season, we're going to be thankful for any gifts that we get. We thank all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons, and they deserve it, I'm sure. There's a lot of things that others do for us that we should not take for granted. But in all the times that we're thanking our friends and our relatives and our classmates, how often do we thank God? Compared to everyone else around us, how often do we tell Him how grateful we are for the things that we've received? Before anyone else, anything else, we need to thank God for what He has given us. We think about what He has given us. Well, He's given us our lives. We live, we exist, we're breathing this air in this room right this very second because God created us. Because God gives it to us. Look over in Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says there, beginning with verse 18, it says, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart." I'm sure there's a lot of things in this life that we feel like we have right to complain about, and we certainly do more than our fair share of that. And life is not always a rose garden, but it's still given to us from God. We are still alive. How thankful are we for that every day, that we're able to lift our head off the pillow? This is the lot that God has given us. It is His gift that we are alive, that we have the various things that we have to enjoy. And sure, we look around us and we see there's others who have more, or they have newer or better, or however you want to phrase it. But we're alive. We have the jobs that He gives us. We have our food, clothing, shelter. Are we thanking God that He gives us all of that? It's our toil, it's our work to do under the sun in the few short years we have here. We talked about that last week, that our lives are brief. We might not have it for long, but we have it. So in the meantime, how often do we thank God just for that? How often do we thank Him for all that He has done for us, for all that He continues to do? You know, there's a group of individuals in the world known as deists, and they differ from various other groups such as atheists and the like. They believe that there is a being, a God of some sort, and that He did create us. He created the world and the universe, but their school of thought is more or less that God created the world and He just set it spinning and that's it. That He has never done anything else. He has never intervened, will never intervene. It's just we're here and that's all we are. And of course, if that were enough, that's reason to thank God, just that we exist. But we know God does more than that. You look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 1 Chronicles 16, beginning there of verse 8, David is singing this song. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones." Rejoice and thank Him for His wondrous works. And we have it all recorded for us here in the Bible. God's Word tells us of all that He has done. Not only did He create us, not only did He give us all of these blessings, all of these things we should be thankful for, but He's continually helped mankind. He helped the Israelites. They were His chosen people. He intervened for them time and time again. And now, we're not Israelites. We're not under the old law of Moses, but look at what God has done for us. Look at all that He has given us. All that He continues to do for us, that He gives us the avenue of prayer. Where would we be without God giving us these things? Without Him continually watching over us, keeping us safe? It should be, and it is, a recurring theme in the prayers that we hear here. That we are thankful that God has allowed us to be here, that He has kept us safe, given us safe travels. We need to be thanking Him for that. Nothing we have is from ourselves. Again, we sometimes have that problem. All the focus is on us. We think about how much work we've put in, all these things that we've done, and all that surely we have coming because of all the effort that we've put forth. But again, in the jobs that we do, in the various things that we are able to help with, who gave us the strength to carry that load? Who gave us the skills that we're able to have this job? That we're able to do these things to help someone out. All of it goes back to God. So first and foremost, before anything else, no matter what it is in our life, we sit down to have a meal, anything, we owe God gratitude that we're alive, that we have these blessings to enjoy. Now, remembering again where we read in 1 Timothy, Paul giving us a good example here. He's thankful to God. But he specifically mentions two things there in that passage that he's overwhelmingly grateful for. And as we already have that covered, that when we give thanks, it should be to God. Not that we don't thank others, but that comes secondary. That we understand, we thank God, what is it that we thank Him for beyond food, clothing, shelter, jobs, education? Well, we need to be thankful for the grace that He gives us. And of course, as many of us here know, grace is often described, it's defined as unmerited favor, giving good things when they are undeserved. When someone has done nothing to earn this, we don't owe it to them, but we give it to them anyway. Just because. And of course, in this case, it's because God loves us. But God is gracious to us. And when we talk about the grace of God, obviously we're talking about salvation. You look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning there with verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We talked about this just a little while ago, that we are saved by grace through faith. It is by God's grace. He gives it to us. It is the free gift of God. We've done nothing to earn it. We couldn't do anything to earn it. But God shows favor to us anyway. So it's by grace, yet it is through our faith. So again, we understand what saves us, and we understand how it saves us. Through our faith, through believing in Him and acting upon that belief. God gives us salvation. And you know, we just say that salvation, simple three-syllable word, to understand the weight behind it. It means knowing that you're right with God. Knowing that you're reconciled to Him. That He is your Heavenly Father, that you are His child. Knowing that as long as you are faithful to Him, you have home in heaven. That you have eternity to look forward to where there is no pain, no sorrow, no separation, no darkness. Comfort. Peace of mind. Described as peace that passes understanding. That comes from God. And it certainly falls under this category of grace because you really stop and think about it. Do we deserve that? Do we deserve everything that God is offering to us? He's giving it freely because He loves us, because He doesn't want any to perish. He's offering salvation. Because of our sins, which in human logic and human wisdom seems like the most ridiculous part of this. Well, if we've sinned, if we've transgressed His law, that would be reason for Him not to do that. Why would He be graceful to us? We don't listen to Him anyway. He tells us not to lie. He tells us not to steal. He tells us not to do this. We go out and live however we please. Why would He show us grace? But it's because all of that that He extends this grace to us. Over in Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 6, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Because our sins separate us from God. When we sin, and it doesn't matter what it is, because we know to God there is no categorization. There is no such thing as a little sin or a big sin. It's all the same. So it could be murder, it could be adultery, it could be slander, false witness. It doesn't matter. We separate ourselves from God. Even though we're His creation, we belong to Him, we've wandered away. And God doesn't have to do anything at that point. We've made our bed, we could lie in. But God offers us a way back. He is gracious enough to welcome us if we return to Him. To put it into human relationship terms, He's telling us that bridge is still there, even if we try to burn it. He is gracious enough to allow us to come back. Choice is still up to us. He's not going to force our hand. But the way is open. We can come back to Him. We can be right again. And He's doing this despite everything that we've done. Despite how badly we live our lives. It doesn't matter if you're 20, 30, 40 years old, how long you've lived in sin. It doesn't change what God is offering to us freely, because He loves us and He doesn't want any to be lost. And you really stop and consider, well, if grace is unmerited favor, it's God giving to us these things that we don't deserve. Well, certainly we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve eternal happiness. But that's not the only thing on that list. You stop and start to write down all the things that you don't deserve, you'll never stop. All the things that we have in this life, all the things that we have to look forward to in the next, God didn't have to give us. He doesn't owe us anything, but He gives us freely everything. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, you would look there, starting with verse 31. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, and we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. So, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything that He's given us because of this love, and nothing can get in the way of that. We can choose to turn it down, but nothing can stop it. It's that powerful. He gives us His Word. Where would we be without the Bible? Where would we be without these things revealed to us? Guesswork. Well, I hope this is pleasing to God. I don't know. He's told us what He wants from us. What it means to be a Christian. He's given us the church. He didn't have to. Salvation is an individual thing. We're all going to have to answer before the judgment seat of Christ. Yet, in His infinite wisdom, He gives us the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. People that we can go to, that we can lean upon, that they should be able to lean upon us, that we can be encouraged by, that we can help them. He gives us the church. I mentioned before, He gives us the avenue of prayer. That any time we want, we don't have to be in this building, we don't have to be gathered together, we can go before God through Christ. Cast our cares upon Him. Tell Him what's bothering us. Ask Him for help. Ask Him to help someone who we know is in need of help. Someone who's sick. Someone we're worried about. He didn't have to give us that. All that we have and don't deserve is by His grace. Because that's what grace is. Unmerited favor. And it abounds in the life of a Christian. To try to describe, to try to put down in words what the grace of God is, it's an exercise in futility. We can't even begin. But what Paul mentioned there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, of the things that he was thankful for, he mentions grace. He mentioned something else as well. Something that so often is confused with grace. They're similar in a way, but not the same thing. He also mentions for mercy. He says that God was merciful to him. Well, grace is the idea of unmerited favor. It's giving us what it is that we do not deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is withholding what we do deserve. Withholding judgment, punishment, when it is truly and rightfully deserved. And if we're to boil it all down into one word, the idea behind this is forgiveness. That God would forgive us of our sins. Over in Titus, the third chapter. Let's look there in Titus chapter 3. He says, starting with verse 3, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And when we try to discuss the forgiveness of sins and how God forgives, we know it's totally. He forgives, He forgets, as if it's as if that sin, those things never took place. They're completely gone, the slate is wiped clean. That's the forgiveness of God, and that is mercy. That's Him being merciful towards us. That He had every right to strike us down. You look at the Old Testament, you see that's exactly what He did on so many occasions. But He doesn't. He wouldn't be in the wrong if He did. But He chooses not to. Long-suffering is a word for this. We say that word and we tend to think, at least I do, the idea of He's just putting up with it. Well, yes and no. He is, but only for a while. It's not that God tolerates sin in any way, shape, or form. But He is long-suffering, giving us time. You look back in Ezra, interesting passage back in the Old Testament, in Ezra chapter 9. It says in verse 10, as Ezra is praying, he says, "And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded by your servants the prophets, saying, 'The land that you are entering to take possession of it is a land impure, with the impurity of the peoples of the lands, with their abominations that have filled it from end to end with their uncleanness. Therefore do not give your daughters to their sons, neither take their daughters for your sons, and never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us, for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, seeing that you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserved, and have given us such a remnant as this, shall we break your commandments again and intermarry with the peoples who practice these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you consumed us, so that there should be no remnant, nor any to escape? O Lord, the God of Israel, you are just, for we are left a remnant that has escaped, as it is today. Behold, we are before you in our guilt, for none can stand before you because of this." And when God gave them the land, gave them the inheritance, He told them what to do, and we understand they didn't do it. They didn't take the land as they should. They weren't separated. They weren't set apart. They wanted to be just like all the other kingdoms. And of course, that led to them being involved in idolatry and many other sins. And they paid the price for that. They were taken away into captivity, and eventually there was just this remnant left over, because He promised He wouldn't completely destroy them. But you see what He said there? "You've punished us less than what we deserve." Yes, all we have is a remnant, but He's saying we need to be thankful for that. You didn't have to leave us that, but you did. We think about our lives. Does God punish us as we deserve? Over in James, the second chapter. In James chapter 2, beginning there with verse 10. It says, "For whoever keeps the whole law, but fails in one point, has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." We know we're going to be judged by God. He's promised us that, and there's nothing we can do to change it. And we know God is a righteous judge. He's not going to leave anything out. He's not going to show any kind of bias or any of that. But He offers mercy. And as it says, it triumphs over judgment. It supersedes it. If God wishes to show mercy, He can. And He says that He will. And He's shown to be a merciful God. But His mercy is not unconditional. We need to be thankful for all that we have in life. We need to be thankful for the physical blessings that we have. But more than that, we understand if we're in Christ, we're spiritually blessed. We have a spiritual family. We have this connection with God. We can go to Him in prayer. We have His Word revealed to us. He gave us His Son. How thankful ought we to be for that? The fact that through that, through the plan of salvation that He's given to us, He shows His grace and His mercy. And they're different, as we've looked at this morning. They're not the same thing, but we need to be thankful for them both. And there's so many times in life we get upset because we feel that we've been shortchanged in some way. I can't believe this is happening to me. I deserve to have... You fill in the blank. I'm sure we all feel that way from time to time, but stop and consider, what would life be like if we did get exactly what we deserved? We have to be glad that God shows mercy, that He withholds what it is that we do deserve. And we need to be thankful that He offers to us that which we don't deserve. Not in the least. But He says that we can have it anyway. And of course, this thankfulness that we ought to have towards God, not just in words, not just once or twice a year, but if we're truly thankful to God for Him extending mercy to us, that He gives us graciously the hope of heaven, we need to be thankful in our actions, in our deeds, to reflect that we are thankful that we have such an opportunity, that we have such a Savior, that Christ was willing to go to the cross because of our sins. So, it's the Lord's invitation. He's offering that to us. He offers us forgiveness of sins. He offers us salvation and a home in heaven. And He gives us the choice. What do we choose? To follow after Him? To dedicate our lives to being like Christ? That's what it means to be a Christian. It's making a commitment that because we believe in Him, because we believe in the Bible, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to live for as long as we live, until He comes again. Have you made that commitment in your life? Are you a child of God? If not, there's time to be obedient to the gospel this very morning. And we don't know how much time we have left. God does not want any to be lost. He wants us to come back to Him, to be reconciled, to have our sins washed away. But maybe you've done so. You are a Christian, and yet you've not been living the way that you need to. You've not been living in a way that shows that you are thankful to God for these blessings. You're just living however seems right to you. The Scriptures tell us there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. We need to have God first in our lives. We need to be living for Him. And we can sin. Just because we've been baptized into Christ doesn't mean we're immune from temptation. And God knows this. And He says He is faithful and just to forgive us if we go to Him, if we repent of that, if we ask for His forgiveness. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, or if you need to repent of some sin that is in your life, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, but won't you please make your wants and wishes known while together we stand and while we sing.